Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you today, John Murray, and he's a pastor of the Tree of Life Fellowship in Pennsylvania. And our topic will be the first three books of Revelation. So how are we ever going to get that in an hour? I don't know. But also, the chat room is open, so we will be looking for your comments. And this is a live call-in program today, so if you would like to call in and speak to John personally, the call-in number is 914-338-1638, and you're welcome to call at any time during this one-hour broadcast. So there was a few things in the news this week. There's always so many things going on in the world, and it's just like the Bible says that men will wax worse and worse, and we're seeing that, aren't we? Just when we think we've seen everything, something else pops up in the news that's hard to believe. But there was a story that broke this week about Chinese medicine, and the Chinese, and I'm sure other people are doing it too, they just happened to get caught. But they were taking aborted babies, and they were, it's so awful that it's even hard to talk about, but they were grinding them up and putting them into capsules, and then selling the pills as a medicine. The pills were confiscated in Korea. But who knows where these pills are and who's actually selling them? Are they being sold in health food stores? I don't trust anything that comes to China. It's a frightening proposition when you think about now they're starting to grow some food in China to export here. I don't want to eat their food. I don't know what kind of fertilizer they're using. I don't know what they're doing. Also, if you look at, I was looking at some videos this morning on YouTube, and I was looking at Detroit, Michigan, and you can see total decay has hit that city. Many, many abandoned buildings. The city basically lies in ruins. And also there was a story last night, I think it was on Inside Edition, about a town in Pennsylvania called Brownsville, Pennsylvania. And they showed the whole downtown area was absolutely deserted. Every building was left abandoned. And at one time, this town, Brownsville, it actually has been around since, I think, the 1600s. It's an old, old town in Pennsylvania. They built steamboats there. They actually built over 3,000 steamboats in this town. It was prosperous at one time, especially when they had the coal mines and when steel was big there. But now this town, too, a town in America, basically, yeah, for the most part, is deserted. deserted hospitals. Two hospital buildings closed up and deserted. Main Street deserted. It truly is a sign of the times, isn't it? But it kind of is ironic that the Industrial Revolution has come and gone in America, and now the Industrial Revolution lives on in China. And the Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we see that our once great manufacturing, and we've been sold out to the Chinese. I was looking for some organic garlic the other day, and I noticed that, oh, there was a company that was actually went to China, an organic produce company, and they're having the Chinese grow garlic to send here. I don't understand at all, since our country is so large. I'm sure there's plenty of garlic farmers here. Why does anyone have to go to China to grow garlic to bring over here to sell, especially someone that lives in this country? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But also in the news this week was the a report about obesity in America and how many Americans are actually obese now. And it's an epidemic with the children. And they're saying, well, how can we overcome this epidemic? Well, it's actually the government that's promoting this whole obesity thing. If anybody does any studies, and I do, I do a lot of research on food and how to stay healthy and avoid going to the doctor and going to the hospital if you can. But they are actually producing so much genetically engineered food, and they use these GMOs, the corn and the soy, to fatten up the cows, to quickly fatten them up, and then people eat it. And then if it fattens up the cows, well, then it's going to fatten you up too. So we see an absolute epidemic of obesity, and they're saying, well, we wonder why. We wonder why this is happening. So the Lord has given us wisdom, and he's given us a mind, a sound mind. And we have to take that mind and be smarter than the devil and to be wise. I'm going to be doing more programs on food and health. I think it's so important. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need to make intelligent choices when it comes to eating, because we have to take nutrition to keep our bodies going. So anyway, like I said, the chat room is open, so we welcome your comments. And the call-in number, I will repeat it again, it's 914-338-1638, and please call in at any time during this program to speak to my guest. Hello, I'm bringing my guest on. Hi, John, how are you today?
Greetings. I trust that the Lord's grace is upon you and all the listeners today.
Amen. Amen. He is. God is good. And I look forward to this program because you told me that you spent all morning preparing, and I'm sure that you're just full of the Word of God. And so I saw that you had you put out your new book.
Yes.
And would you share that with the listeners a little bit about your latest book and how they can get that book?
Well, it's the book's entitled "The Conspiracy, the Prophets, and God's Holy Remnant," and it talks about how, and during the time of Ezekiel, it's from the book of Ezekiel. During the time of Ezekiel, that there was a lion, which always is the symbol of the devil, and as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and there is a lion that is within the conspiracy, the prophets. That demonic spirit that is leading Israel into captivity and to be subject to Babylon. And of course, the conspiracy really is, a lot of people talk about the conspiracy of Bilderbergers and the conspiracy of the Council of Foreign Relations and all those groups, and there is a conspiracy within, there is truth to that element, but the greatest conspiracy of all is the conspiracy to seduce the church to the place where it no longer has light or grace to change the world. And in our time, in our way, the false prophets of our time have so seduced the church that the church has stopped being the light and the salt, and we're seeing a takeover of the entire world, I believe, by the spirit of Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
And so the book addresses that. I particularly addressed two conspirators. I mentioned a number of conspirators. Particularly, I mentioned Jimmy Swaggart and Mark Driscoll. And then in the second half of the book, we talk about how God's holy remnant, through the persons of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, how God brings Babylon to its knees through his operating in a faithful remnant. So it's,
wow.
I think it's an interesting book, and I've been getting good feedback on it. And if anybody would like to get it, just go to treeoflifefellowship.net. That's treeoflifefellowship.net, and go to our bookstore, and that book can be ordered through the bookstore.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, I would love to do a program with you about that. That sounds like a very timely book.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to speak it in such a brief, just a few brief sentences, the content of the whole book, but it really is true. Satan's greatest plan is to seduce the church through false teachers and false prophets, because if he can take out the church, the world will just follow. And that has been the history of throughout, as we've seen prophets sobbing and weeping over fallen temples, apostate temples, all through the Old Testament, and even when we come into the book of Revelations in the New Testament.
Yeah. It's a topic, too, when you talk about Jimmy Swaggart. Of course, most people don't really realize that he is in so much error. And also Mark Driscoll. These are names that many people are familiar with, especially probably more so Jimmy Swaggart, because he's been around a lot longer. But it's good to tell people. I think we have to be aware, and the Bible says that we're not supposed to be ignorant. So we have to recognize these false prophets. So we're not seduced ourselves, but we see, even if you look at what they call Christian television today, how far they've come away from preaching the pure gospel out of a pure heart.
If you give the test of Antichrist, and I'm not trying to promote me or promote our church. I don't like that. I'm here only one reason, to lift up the Lord Jesus. But if you were to go into our website and you go to the Discernment Ministry link, we have an article on the test of Antichrist and how to test the spirit of Antichrist. And we have to understand that there's going to be many deceivers, according to Matthew 24, that are going to come in the name of the Lord. And just because somebody comes saying the name of Jesus does not mean that they are of God. And we have to run the test of Antichrist. John wrote and said that we are to try or test the spirits to see if they are of God. And when you learn how to test the spirits, you will be shocked how many of what is called popular ministry today is denying the deity of Jesus, is denying the infallibility of the scriptures. It's really quite shocking, and there is a massive attack upon, especially upon the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, it is quite shocking. It is, but anyway, our topic today is the first three books of Revelation, so that's a vast topic right there. I've been spending a lot of time this week myself going through the book of Revelation, and it's always an interesting book. There's so much in there, especially pertaining to the times that we're living in. But I wanted to hear your take on the first three books of Revelation.
Well, in touching the first three chapters, let me say this. The book of Revelation, God's word is a very, very sobering book. It is a book that right now I just even touch in the first three chapters of Revelation leaves me trembling. It's a book that will leave you trembling. And the scariest part of the book of Revelation to me is not all the terrible tribulation things that happen after the first three chapters, after the starting about the fifth chapter. But to me, the scariest part of the whole book of Revelation is the Lord searching his church, searching the church for and seeking out and discovering the last great apostasy that is operating within the church and the danger of the lampstand, the candlestick being removed. That is frightening beyond all expression to me. But when I read the first three chapters of Revelation, especially if I go and I read them over and over and over again, it leaves me in a trembling and kind of preparing for today. I have to confess I'm sitting here just kind of trembling, just coming under the searching eyes of the Lord Jesus. You know, so many people have turned God into a pal instead of realizing that God is a holy God. And if you go through the scriptures carefully, you will see that all the men of God who God has written the scriptures through all had experiences where they fell trembling before the Lord. That was the case with John. That was the case with Peter. That was the case with Isaiah. That was the case with Ezekiel. And we could go on and on and on. When men saw the Lord, they became completely undone. Isaiah, in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, he's saying, woe to this and woe to that, rightfully so. But when he sees the Lord, he says, woe is me. and that's the kind of book, Revelation is a woe is me book to me. It's a very, very, it's a very deep and great book.
Yeah. So how does the first three chapters actually pertain to the remnant church?
Well, first of all, I think whenever you have to lay out foundations, and Revelations 1, chapter 1, verse number 2, chapter 1, verse number 9, and Revelations 12, 17, as well as 1 Corinthians 4 through 9 are very, very key. We learn right away that John is bearing record to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and what Jesus sees. See, that's part of the testimony of Jesus, is bearing record to the infallible word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Jesus is telling us what he sees. And we find when we begin to see what Jesus sees that certain things begin to happen to us. Number one, I believe one of the first things will happen to you, you'll come into great tribulation. In Revelations 1:9, John said that he was a companion to us in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And he ended up in the Isle of Patmos, which was really an island for the criminally insane, for the word of God. There's a repeat again, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So our number one desire, I believe, as Christians, is that we have to eat the food of revelation. Paul said he communicated the gospel by revelation. He traveled by revelation. And I'm not talking about a revelation coming from our soul, but I'm talking about coming to the throne room of God in humility and brokenness and asking the Lord to give us sight to what he sees, to see things as Jesus sees.
Yeah.
And when that will automatically, it will bring a lot of tribulation to your life. It will bring a lot of great, it'll bring a great test of patience. That's just the reality of what John said. He was a companion in that, and we need to be companions in that. But when you go to Revelations 12:17, when the devil comes with great wrath, his wrath is against those who keep the word of God, in that case it names the commands of God, and have the testimony of Jesus. Now, how important is it for us to see things as Jesus sees things, especially in these last days? I'm going to read, with your permission, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9.
Oh, yeah.
It says this, Paul wrote, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. See, everything has to be given to us by Jesus. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, when we speak, it's because we've been with Jesus and sees as Jesus sees, and in all knowledge, or epinosis, super knowledge. And then he says this, listen to these words, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. This is how the book of Revelation starts, holding the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and understanding what the testimony of Jesus Christ is to the church. He says, when we enter into that, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be lacking, and I don't want to see you or anyone else lacking the spiritual, what we need spiritually, the gifting that keeps us as we wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, everyone that's listening, and my desire for you, Susan, my desire for everyone that I come in contact with, is I have a desire, like Paul, that there would be a church blameless into the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, equipped for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that can, I believe, can only come to us as we receive the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that testimony is confirmed in us. And that's probably the first thing that the Holy Spirit strikes as we go into the book of Revelation.
Wow.
Blessed be the Lord.
That's kind of a heavy mandate, isn't it?
Yes, it is a heavy mandate, but it is the only mandate that is going to keep us. We are going to have to be guided and led by the eyes of our Savior. We're going to have to see what he sees, and we're going to have that confirmed in us and pay the price of being in tribulation, our patience tested, and waiting upon the Lord, upon his coming, and being confirmed by his testimony, his speaking to us of the concerns of the throne, blameless unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's a very, very awesome high calling, but that's the high calling we must press toward.
Yeah, it is a high calling. I know the other day I was listening in one of the Gospels, and it said that if someone takes your coat, in other words, just let them have it, you know.
Yes.
And if they want to borrow from you, that you're supposed to give it to them and not expect anything in return. And you know, sometimes you have situations with people, and you don't like what they're doing. So when I heard that, and I was talking back to the, I had a CD playing, and I was talking back, and I was saying, Lord, don't tell me what to do. You know, that this person did that, and then what the Word of God tells you is totally opposite of what your flesh is feeling.
Our flesh is the worst part of us. It's rebellious, it's foolish, and it wants to rebel against the Lord, and that's why we have to make every thought of the flesh, discern every thought of the flesh, and make it captive. But the best way of overcoming our own natural thought is to be full of his thought. And when we go from the testimony of the Lord into Revelations 1:3, it tells us this, blessed are they who read, hear the words of the revelation, the words of the Bible, and keep, read, hear, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This is the time to read the Bible cover to cover every year. This is the time to faithfully read the Word of God every day. This is the time to come in brokenness before God and hear him, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then what we hear, we need to keep it inside of our spirit. That is how the book of Revelations begins.
Yeah, it's truly the days are evil. And I've never seen so much crime and corruption. And I know it's only going to get worse. You see every kind of thieves thinking of new ways to rob people. We had a few weeks ago in Tampa, Florida, a postal worker riding in his truck delivering mail, leaving mail in mailboxes, was robbed at gunpoint of his mail.
Oh, God,
now,
protect him.
Yeah, we never heard of anything, never heard of that type of thing. Every day you hear about murders and rapes, and it's just an unbelievable time that we're living in. And we know truly that we need God's protection, and we need His grace and His mercy to complete our mission while we're on the earth, to lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because truly there's no way out of what's coming upon the earth except that God protects us.
Let us know that perilous times shall come. The Holy Spirit speaks in the book of Timothy. And then also we know this, that a time of trouble such as the world has never seen nor ever will see again. And it will be so difficult that for the elect's sake, God will shorten those very days.
Yeah.
But I believe this, if we are attentive to hear the revelation of Jesus Christ and hear His testimony to the church, if I may, with your permission, I'd like to just touch a couple more features in these earlier verses, please.
Yeah.
Revelation 1:4, something very, very interesting you find in Revelation 1:4. You find for the first time in the Scriptures the term the seven spirits of God. It's very interesting. Throughout most of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful third person of the Trinity, is referred to as the Holy Ghost, as the Holy Spirit. But in the Revelation, he is identified as the seven spirits of God, which is very, very unique. That's a very, very unique thing in the divine thought of God. And if you believe, as I do, that the Word of God is infallible, and that every thought, every verse is a thought coming from before the foundations of the world, and if we begin to dwell on that, why does the Lord talk about the seven spirits of God? And perhaps we'll get a chance to address that in a little bit. In Revelation 1:7, it says that every eye will see Him, and they which pierced Him, and the nations will wail. Every eye is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's going to be a demarcation line between those who pierced Him and those who didn't pierce Him. And technically, our sin pierced Jesus and put Him upon the cross. But
yeah.
Once we know Him as Lord and Savior, we are no longer piercing Him, because we become a part of His body in this great mystery we call the church. But Hebrews 6:6 gives us a difficult warning. It talks about those who crucify or pierce the Lord Jesus afresh. When Jesus comes and every eye is going to see Him, the apostates are going to, who have pierced Him afresh, are going to wail over Him. Zechariah teaches us that the nation of Israel is going to wail when they see the holes in the hands and feet of the Messiah. The nations are going to wail and mourn because of Him. And then we find in that He makes His first address, and He says this: I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the one from the everlasting past, and the ending, the one that will have the final judgment. So right off the bat, we're seeing a tremendous presentation of the need, of the centrality, of looking upon Jesus with every fiber of our being, body, mind, soul, and spirit, and retaining that, you know, obtaining that and keeping that. Blessed are they that read here and keep the revelation of that, because that there is a promise that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yeah.
And there is a promise that He can keep us blameless to that day. Praise
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Because certainly we need that, because there's so many temptations in the world, and there's so many, especially if you're dealing with unsaved people, because it's like you're on another planet when you're trying to deal with some people that don't know God.
Yes.
And they're so different. They think, their thinking is so different, and especially with family members, when the thinking is so different, and it's you're having trouble trying to communicate, and you see that spirit of rebellion, and even with families, it's very, very strong, this spirit of Antichrist.
The spirit of Antichrist has become increasingly strong. I believe it came through our public schools. And now the spirit of Antichrist is that roaring lion coming within the realm of the church.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. Jesus gives his initial, the first time you see the red letter of Jesus in Revelation, he's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am from the dateless past. I am the beginning. I am from the Arche. And I have the final say in all of judgment. But the second thing he addresses is scary because he says, saying, he repeats, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, right. And it's, he speaks to seven churches, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And he begins to address the church. And he's addressing the church because he wants to give his testimony so that as his testimony is given, they can keep the word of God and be preserved blameless. In the grace of God, and again, this is not to promote, I went to Africa, to Ghana, and gave pastoral seminars for 2 years in a row, and then we would have crusades at night, but we would, during the day, it was training for pastors. And out of that, I wrote a book called The Revelation of the Mystery of the Gospel. And I believe it is in this book, God really spoke to me about what his testimony to the church is. And if you realize this realization that the condition of any of these churches can become the condition of any local church, or worse yet, it can become the condition of our hearts. Any of us as believers can, as Ephesus did, can lose having Jesus as our first love.
Yeah.
Any of us as believers can be as Laodicea. We can be having church without Jesus and him knocking to get in. And that is so frightening because Christianity is not a positional thing. It is not, as so many people teach, this is who we are in Christ, and this is once saved, always saved, and all these various positional type of things. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ that is daily. And if we are not hearing him, our hearts can begin the mystery of iniquity and go against him. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me the testimony of the Lord is, and you can judge this, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, see the seven churches as one church. And hear what I say. And this is what the Lord says. And listen very, very carefully. You have left your first love. Another synagogue has come and is coming to imprison you, imprison those of you who are keeping the first love. With the other synagogue coming, it has killed one of you, Antipas, and it has brought the seat of Satan. It has brought Satan's authority to the church. And then the next thing he says is that you have those amongst you that are teaching the spiritual fornication as well as natural fornication, and you're learning the depths of Satan. So from the loss of first love, there comes this false church and false ministry that imprisons, kills by the authority of Satan, who has the authority to bring death, and then actually brings the depths of Satan. It actually says the Thyatira church, that the depths of Satan was right within the Thyatira church. And then he says to the church at Sardis, he says, your wedding garment is your garment is not clean. Your garment, he actually uses the word, your garment is defiled. If a woman goes and commits adultery on her husband, and then she comes back and she comes back and she just covers the garment she's wearing, that's a defiled garment. And then suddenly the Lord, as first fivefold testimony, the Lord brings afresh into view what he wants for his church, what he wants to bride, the Philadelphia church, where he says, you go no more out. You don't go out and commit spiritual adultery on me. And not only that, I'm writing on you the name, the bridal name of the church in the Word of God, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. I saw the heavenly Jerusalem having the glory of God. The church is to have the glory of God. And then the final church, the Laodicean church, he says, I'm outside and you're knocking I'm knocking to come and be a part of the church. You're outside while you're confessing you're rich, while you're making this grand confession. But I am not bound to your grand confession because I say you're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. So really when you hear the whole testimony to the seven churches, it's this. You've left your first love. You now have another lover. Here's what I want. Make your choice.
Yeah.
And we need to hold that
really
testimony.
True. Oh, yes. That's very true. All of us remember that have been born again by the grace of God. We remember how it was when we first...
Yes.
Our first love. Yes, we remember that. And then it's important to remember to ask the Lord to return us to that place, because that was a time where we loved to get into the Word, and we couldn't get enough of fellowship and the Word of God, and to have the joy of salvation. What joy and what peace to know that once we were dead in our sins, and then we were made alive through Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful, really, to know God and to know who He really is, to know Jesus Christ and who He really is, and how He can change a life and give people hope at a time where you see so much hopelessness, especially in this country, which was once a great, wealthy country, and we're seeing the economy fall apart right before our eyes. Doesn't the Bible say, isn't it in the book of Revelation, where you have to work a whole day for a loaf of bread?
Yes. That's the breaking of one of the seals, where it becomes down to it. And I believe this, the devaluing of our dollar is related to it's a picture of the spiritual life of the church. The spiritual life of the church used to be very, very rich in the riches of Jesus Christ. And now today, you look today, we've got new Bibles just coming out where the name of Jesus is completely omitted.
Yeah.
We've got Bibles coming out where the Father is called Allah in Matthew 28. The Father is called Allah instead of the Father. We have so much what I call the Nicolaitan activity. And the Nicolaitan activity, if you read right away when Jesus deals with the loss of the first love, and that's the most important thing. If we are not loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, the Lord says that is the only standard He will accept. He actually said to the Ephesus church, "You've left your first love. Repent, or else I'll remove you."
Yeah.
Now it would be like if my wife I was like, she had two boyfriends and I was number three, that wouldn't work, would it?
No.
Well, it's not. The Lord is not going to be second place to anything. And this thing that he mentions too, it says I believe how that first love begins to become lost is through the Nicolaitans, and a lot of people don't. We don't have churches called Nicolaitans, but if you search out the Nicolaitans, it says this: the Lord hated in Revelations 2:6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, the Nicolaitans, they were a belief system, according to Revelations 2:14, talks about how you have, so thou also them that have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is a belief system, and it leads to a godless behavior, and Jesus Christ hates it. Now, I believe we have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is going deeply through the church right now. And it is basically the belief that God has mercy, and that's the ground of our salvation, which is true. But once we receive salvation, then there is no longer a law. There is no longer we are just free to participate in sin because everything is in the cross and everything is merciful. I want to tell you of a personal experience, with your permission, of what I had take place in our church when our church was invaded by the Jimmy Swaggart doctrine.
Oh.
And one of the ladies in our church started telling another lady in the church that she was fornicating with her neighbor, and it was okay to fornicate because everything is in the cross.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, this is some of what the Nicolaitan doctrine is. It's when you take a look in the Church of Pergamus, it was the doctrine of Balaam that taught the children of Israel to stumble. How do you teach the children of Israel to stumble? By the Moabite and the Ammonite women would come and have sexual immorality, and lead the Israelite men to the Chemosh and Molech, their gods. And that's how the payment that was received by Balaam in teaching Balak and the Moabites how to overthrow Israel. Now, there is this gigantic sex gospel that is going on within the church.
Oh, I know. It's awful. Horrible.
It's insane. And if you take like this woman within this church, when I told her that fornication was not okay, I won't go into my full conversation with her, which would be rather lengthy. All these women started accusing me of being abusive to women because I made them cry because I said to them that no, you cannot fornicate and go to heaven.
Wow.
I talked to them about the judgment seat of Christ, and their whole thing was, I actually said to her, how do you interpret the Bible? And she says, well, I don't know. And I says, well, you interpret the Bible by, the only person that can interpret the Bible to us is the Holy Spirit. And her answer was, well, the Holy Spirit and Jimmy.
Oh.
That's how scary these demonic powers that come and operate. They actually believe their eyes have opened, and actually Satan can open your eyes. You go into the book of Genesis and you read how Eve's eyes were opened after she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good evil. See, people are actually receiving revelation from people like Jimmy Swaggart and people from like Mark Driscoll, but they're receiving it from another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus that is creating another church. We had one time someone sent on, I think it was on Facebook. I'm not too good with this stuff, but my wife is up more with that. I just try to stay in the Word of God. But my wife is more on Facebook, and somebody sent this message. They said, "Oh, our pastor at our church, church is running 950 people. This is a full gospel church, a very well-known denomination."
Yeah.
And they sent this wonderful message to us, and supposedly, and we put the message on, and the pastor says, "Well, I don't know if everybody's going to agree with me on this, but the Bible is a book all about sex." And then he started going in, talking about how the Song of Solomon was, basically, they made it an X-rated book. No wonder they're running 950 people.
Yeah.
I guarantee if they started to tell them to repent and that you're in your flesh dwells no good thing.
Oh, I never thought I was going to see anything like this.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
This woman at your church, what Bible was she reading? Because it doesn't say that in the Bible that you can fornicate.
No, but see, what they do, it's what the Word of God says. The time will come when they will no longer endure. It actually says this. The Holy Spirit speaks retos, or manifestly. This is what's going to manifest. That they're going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
And Second Peter even talks about how the teachers are going to come and even going to deny the deity of Jesus. Like Creflo Dollar, like the Word of Faith teachers that say that Jesus was just the first to die on a cross, and Jesus was just the first man to become God. We're all going to become God. And like Paula White, we're not to pray to Jesus because we're all the only begotten Son of God. That comes right, that's the heresy from the NIV Bible that strips Jesus of the virgin birth. Yeah. You know, there's this Nicolaitan doctrine. I can't even imagine how a man could write a book called Porn Again. Like Mark Driscoll. Mark Driscoll wrote a book, Porn Again.
Oh, no!
And if anybody, I reference what I can reference without sinning in my book about the conspiracy of the prophets. I reference what I can reference.
How awful.
But you cannot believe the amount of people that are falling for people like Swagger, falling for the Word of Faith, falling for Mark Driscoll. Mark Driscoll is running thousands of people. He preaches and exchanges pulpits with Rick Warren, the other great Nicolaitan heretic. These people are the Nicolaitans. Everything is under the cross. That's why you can be a homosexual, lesbian church member in the Saddlebrook Church there from Rick Warren. You can be a homosexual, lesbian church member. The book of Jude really, really goes deeply into what the Nicolaitans did to the early church. And it says in the book of Jude, it says this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of this common salvation, the real salvation, it was needful for me to write to you that and exhort you that you should earnestly contend." And the actual Greek word for that is the root word for what we call agony. It's epa agonisomai. I can't pronounce these words, I don't think, properly, but it says that we are to agonize over the faith that was once delivered to the saints, but now certain men have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, turning born again into porn again. And if you actually have the courage to read that, if you go into the fifth chapter, I won't even say what, but it actually tells Christian women where to go in the pornography industry to learn things to make their marriage better.
Oh, terrible.
This is the fulfillment. See, these are spots. Jude said these are spots.
Yeah.
These people that are twice dead. And you look at Rick Warren,
twice dead.
They are twice dead. You look at Rick Warren, you look at Driscoll, and Jimmy Swagger has a more subtle, but it is the same thing. That's why if you really get to examine, you'll find that there's always a lot of lust and immorality. You'll find that still within Jimmy Swagger. All kinds of lust and immorality that's taken place there. And yet, see, for the Nicolaitan people, everything's in the cross. I can do absolutely whatever I want. And if you call me to come fast and pray, you're putting me under the law. See, that's some of what I heard from the Swagger cult. And yet they don't understand that the law is that we're trying to live by the Ten Commandments to be saved. I'm not trying to live by the Ten Commandments to be saved, but Romans 8 says that the law of spirit of life has replaced the law, the old law, and there is, we follow the law of the Word of God. John talks about keeping the Word of God and keeping the Word of God and having the testimony of Jesus. I believe the Word of God, the Old Testament commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. If I go out and commit adultery on my wife, and am I under the cross then? Am I under mercy then? Or did I break God's law? Am I guilty before Him? If I go out and I kill someone, am I guilty before God? See this apostasy is based in the lust of the flesh and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what hit Ephesus.
Yeah, that's very true. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all that goes along with it. I know that I think Mark Driscoll, I didn't listen to him, but I think he was on what used to be the Larry King program a few weeks ago. And I think he did write a book about sex, and they were talking about it. I didn't even listen to it, but I thought, how ridiculous to actually have someone that calls himself a Christian to be on national television discussing something that they don't really have any business discussing. And it really, it is a shame what's happened, and it's a real shame because so many people are following after these false teachers, and they've managed to garner a large following. And then when you try to correct these errors, and I think it's only the beginning of the persecution.
I know it's going to be a huge persecution. Huge. You wouldn't believe what we experienced just for telling the truth and just holding the biblical standard. And I am so convinced we are in a Laodicean type of state. Is Jesus really inside a church where the pastor goes to the mayor of a lesbian mayor, stands hand in hand with her lover, and takes the oath before all the city of Houston, and there Joel Osteen is proclaiming that God has raised them up? But Joel Osteen's a liar, because if you read the book of Romans, what does the book of Romans say? When a people no longer retain God in their knowledge, God gives them over to a reprobate mind they call evil good and good evil. It says the men leave the natural use of the women, and even the women burn with lust for the women. That's the judgment of God. He's proclaiming the blessing of God upon what is really the judgment of God. And you have, now, that's the largest church in America. Then you go to Rick Warren, and he has trained, I believe, over 40,000 pastors. This shows you how much discernment there is within the church. He has Mark Driscoll come there and speak. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, an organization establishing world government and doing away with our borders. Yeah. He has homosexual, lesbian members. Can anybody honestly say, because he can talk some Bible, but they're like snake tongues. They get around Christian, they'll talk some Bible. I can show you where he's for biblical marriage, and then he's for homosexuals getting married. He's a snake tongue. He talks one way to one audience and another way to another audience.
Oh, yeah, but he's very persuasive.
Oh, he's done an excellent
job with his deception. He's been very, very successful at it.
I'd like to throw up all over his Hawaiian shirt that he wears. He makes me sick.
I know. I understand why the Lord says I'm going to throw you up. He has really been very, very successful. He's sold millions and millions of books and managed to propagate his gospel very successfully. And, the devil sure used him and continues to use him.
He prayed in the name of Isa. He prayed in the Muslim, the unresurrected, non-deity name of Jesus. He prayed in the name of Isa over Obama. And what blessing has come to this country? We've had two earthquakes in Washington, D.C. One cracked the National Monument, the other cracked the National Cathedral. What a sign. They're God speaking both to the church and to the government. What has happened since he's prayed in that hideous Muslim name for Jesus? What has happened within this country in the last year? We're off the charts. And if we don't lay hold of the testimony of Jesus to keep the church blameless, the church in America is very much, there's no doubt in my mind, it's very much a church with a soiled garment, a defiled garment.
Yeah.
It is a defiled church. It's as Jude talked about, it's the spirit of Balaam. Balaam has, by sexual immorality and by spiritual idolatry, which is spiritual adultery, has defiled the church. There's no doubt.
Yes, it's very, very true. There was a pastor, Ed Young Jr., I think is his name.
What an abomination he is.
Yeah, and he actually brought a bed into the church and put it up on the altar, and that's, he was preaching from this bed. And I said, these people are insane. They have totally lost their minds. And then he's got a full church. He's got thousands of people there. So I said, I don't get it. But it's just
that man makes ridiculous amounts of money. His housing allowance is $20,000 a month. That's his housing allowance. And you know where he got his inspiration? His inspiration for putting his bed, he actually put the bed on the roof of the church, and him and his wife slept, and he wrote a book about having sex every single day. I don't want to be crude here. Where to have it in different places. And he was up on the roof of his church, and he says, you know where he got his idea from? He got his idea from John and Yoko Ono.
Oh.
You know, John Lennon wasn't saved. John Lennon wasn't. He actually said that. This came from John Yoko Ono. John Lennon wasn't saved. So I think John Lennon, he wrote that song, Imagine There's No Imagine, which is all about imagining a one-world government with no belief in God.
Yeah.
And this is who he's taken his inspiration from. These people are antichrists.
Yeah, they're antichrists. Yes,
and they are the Nicolaitans. The things that God hates, they have brought a lust into the church, and they brought a spiritual adultery, which is even worse. And we have pastors teaching their congregations to spiritually fornicate with other gods. The NIV Bible, you got me ranting and raving here.
Oh, no. I mean, it's very, very true. Even what you said about when you were quoting the scripture about turning them over to a reprobate mind, and men will, women will turn from their natural use. But they've managed to even take those verses out of some of the newer versions. So,
oh, yeah.
Then people will read that and say, well, look, homosexuality isn't bad. The Bible's talking about if you're a prostitute or... But God is so blunt, when you think about how he talks about a whorish woman, I mean, God is very blunt. He doesn't mess around when he's talking about it. He put it there for a reason. We look at the situation with John Edwards, who's on trial now for trying to cover up his affair. But doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs that a man will be brought to a piece of bread when he commits adultery?
Yeah.
There's a very high price to pay for these things. Yes, God will forgive you, but yet there is a price to pay, and it could be a very, very hefty price. Now, this man may wind up in jail for committing adultery, and he's on
committing
trial.
Committing adultery is the loss of the first love, and what does he do after that? He starts stealing money to uphold what? An illegitimate son. That's what's happening in the church today. Church commits spiritual adultery, and then you see a constant stealing. It's stealing the glory from God, stealing the money, stealing all that stuff to uphold what? Another Jesus.
Yeah.
And there is another Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1-4 warns us about being seduced to another Jesus. These are other Jesuses, and it also says, when you're quoting from Proverbs here, it also says in the Proverbs, there's the one woman that gets the young man, and she said, I've paid my tithes. Now the debt is all, I've paid my tithes, and it says the young fool does not know that her steps are in hell.
Yes.
And so many of what we call church today is really governed by hell. It's the Pergamus spirit. The seat of Satan comes, and what did the seat of Satan came? It came and it killed Antipas. And then, and that's the third church is Pergamus. I know we've kind of moved away from the churches there, but you start to study those churches, and you see we have Balaam. Our Balaams are Jimmy Swaggart, who really doesn't want to take responsibility, going way back for his fornications. Our Balaams are Mark Driscoll. Our Jezebels. Are Rick Warren. They're leading people not only to natural fornication, but they're leading people to spiritual fornication.
Yes.
You go in the NIV Bible, the Old Testament chairperson, Dr. Martin Wittstrow, was what? A practicing homosexual. And that's why you see so many references to homosexuality removed.
Yeah.
Edwin Palmer, the guy who was oversight the whole Bible, he made this quote: "There's little in the Bible to show us that Jesus is God, which of course is insanity because there's so much about that, and that's why he was crucified." And then he also said this: he says the greatest error that's ever been perpetuated upon the church is the belief that accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is being born again. And yet people are reading, if I remember right, the man's name is Kittle. The transcripts come from this Rudolph Kittle.
Oh, yeah.
His son was Gebhardt, the Nazi.
The Nazi.
And most people, they're reading homosexual lesbian Bibles with Nazi influence,
yes.
anti-Semitic influence, and they want to tell me that that's easier to read?
I know.
Not where I'm sitting.
No, not where I'm sitting from. No, I don't want it. And I remember when I first found out about the Kittle factor, and I warned someone that had written a book using his reference material, so I had alerted this person.
Oh.
He said, oh, I know, I like it. I don't care he was a Nazi. I said, oh, okay. All right.
Things have just so permeated, just like they permeated the church, but if we hold to the testimony of Jesus, he will keep us blameless till the day of the Lord.
That's it. Amen and amen. So our time is gone for the day, but I want to thank you, John, for being here very, very much, because it was a very interesting conversation, a very meaty conversation, and I encourage my listeners to listen to it and listen to it again, because I know I learned so much today. But we'll be asking you to come back again and talk about your new book. I think that that would be very, very interesting to go into it in depth about the about Jimmy Swaggart, Mark Driscoll, and the these wolves that have come into the church and have no regard for God's people. But I want to thank you for your stand for the gospel and for coming on my program. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, it was my very, very happy privilege. I'm very, very appreciative and honored that you would invite me, and I just thank you so much for the opportunity to put the church's feet to the fire and lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen. So would you close us out in prayer today, please?
Surely. Oh, Lord God, Lord, teach us to tremble at your word. Teach us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We call out to you, Lord Jesus. We cry out to you, O God, Lord Jesus. Bring your testimony as you brought your testimony in the revelation, O Lord God. Bring your testimony. Let us hear your voice, O Lord God. Instruct us and lead us, that that testimony would enrich us and give us supernatural knowledge to keep us from the enemy. And that, Lord God, that you would keep us blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, presenting to yourself a spotless bride without wrinkle. We ask, O Lord God, for the privilege of being a part of that. Grant that grace to us, and we humbly ask this in Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, potentate, in his mighty name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, then. So we'll see you again. And hear
God
you
bless
again.
You richly.
Yes, you too. Thank
right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. We want to thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being with me on my program and for listening. We try every week to bring you good guests and teach you the Word of God to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, today can be your day of salvation. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And ask him to forgive you for your sins. He can forgive you for your sins. No matter where you've been or what you've done, he can wash you clean and white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, the Bible says, you can become whiter than snow. You can have a brand new life and be born again and have the peace of God and the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you can be forgiven. And when you die, you know that you can go to heaven, because heaven is a real place. God lives in heaven, and he's created a place just for you. And it's yours for the asking. If you would ask him to reveal himself to you, he will. And he will change your life. Truly, the Bible says you must be born again. And that is a real experience. You were born first of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And I know myself, I was born again over 30 years ago. And I thank God every day that he brought me into his marvelous light and took me out of that kingdom of darkness and opened my eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ And what a wonderful Savior he is. So thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to be with us again next week on Prophetic News. Check out our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV, and we'll be back again next week. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.